This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have back with us today Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina. Senator Thurmond, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Dick. I'm glad to be with you on this program.
Senator Thurmond, I'd like to discuss the current crisis in race relations, which has been culminated in recent weeks by riots in such places as Harlem and Rochester and Jersey City and elsewhere in the North. And I'd like to ask you this question to start off the discussion. At the time that the Congress was debating the so-called Civil Rights Act, it was said that unless this act were passed, there would be a wave of demonstrations and violent outbreaks. And it was implied, at least, and in fact I believe it was said in the debate, that the passage of the Civil Rights Act would eliminate any of these demonstrations. Yet it hasn't happened. Why?
Yes, the Congress was told that if it did not pass the so-called Civil Rights Bill, that we would have riots and demonstrations and there would be no end to these things. That it was absolutely necessary to pass the Civil Rights Bill to prevent such incidences and occurrences from happening. It has not resulted that way. There have been as many or more demonstrations since the Civil Rights Bill has passed as took place before that.
Do you see the demonstrations, the race riots which have occurred in this country recently, as threatening our basic pattern of law and order?
Well, I certainly do, because the police are having a very difficult time in controlling these riots and demonstrations in Rochester, New York, in New York City, in Jersey City, New Jersey, in Chicago, Illinois, in Detroit, Michigan, and other places.
Now, just what brought about all of these disturbances? Obviously, the Civil Rights Act had already been passed under pressure. Government had, in effect, capitulated to all the demands that had been made. So what's the reason for demonstrating?
Well, as I have stated before, there's no question that communism is at the bottom of these demonstrations. It is important for the people to realize this. The goal of the communists is to take the world. And if they can bring about revolutions from within and array one race against another, employee against employer, that's exactly what they wish to do. And they wish to create such strife and disorder within a community that they can just take over and control. And finally, they follow such a pattern that they're able to take over nations. Now, so far as the crime goes in this country, I put out a newsletter some time ago that listed five causes of crime there. You might be interested in knowing those.
Yes, please.
Well, I have a copy of that newsletter right here. The first is that the Supreme Court of the United States continues to put criminal rights above the rights of society. In other words, they're coddling these criminals. A man can be arrested here in Washington for rape or murder, and unless he has his lawyer right there and everything, why, they claim that you can't take a confession. And they have turned loose many people who have admitted their guilt, confessed to their guilt, simply on some technical reason. Now, second, national leaders and even some church leaders encourage civil disobedience, which leads to riots. If you remember, some of the National Council of Churches leaders have done this. There's a man up here in Philadelphia who went out to Baltimore, and he led a parade and a demonstration in a private park there. Now, this man is the head of a big church denomination in this country. He's a prominent official in the National Council of Churches, and here he is violating the law himself. He's setting a terrible example for the people, but holds himself out as a religious leader. Third, acknowledgement of God and moral principles is banished from the classrooms. As you know, the decisions now say you can't read the Bible in the school, you can't pray in the school. Personally, I hope the schools will go right ahead and read the Bible and have prayers in the school. But if you follow the law strictly and technically, that's the case. And if this trend continues, the children will be encouraged to believe that the nation doesn't believe in God. And when a nation turns from God and doesn't believe in God, the people are doomed because they lose their high principles, they lose their ideals, they lose their sense of what is right and wrong. And you have a deterioration in society that eventually will bring about the downfall of a nation. Then the fourth is the concept of individual responsibility is eroded away with preachments of collectivism and share the wealth. Now, this country was built on the theory of the individual. The government was to serve the individual. It's just opposite from the communist country. In a communist country, the purpose is for the individual to serve the government. I'm proud that we dignify the individual in America. I'm proud that in the United States, the individual citizen is looked upon with great respect, and he has all of these rights thrown around him by constitutional principles. Now, that is going out of the window. The more we go to socialism, the more we erode the Constitution, the more conformity we bring about, the more the individual citizen and his dignity will be ignored. And then fifth and last that I mention here is that more and more citizens turn their backs on victims of crime for fear of being involved. If you remember up in New York some time ago, there was a young girl being raped, and she screamed for help. And people just stood by and watched and did nothing. I understood that someone said there were 100 people that had heard her scream, and yet no one went out to protect her. What in the world has happened to the manhood of this country? Or what's happened to people generally, men and women, that they would stand by and permit such as that to happen? It's just because of an indifference. It's because of a selfishness. It's because of the apathy of the people and the times that's taking place, what's going on in this country. There's a certain kickback, if you want to call it, or backlash from the Supreme Court decisions about turning criminals loose. Some people feel now that if you go and arrest criminals, and if the law enforcement officers risk their lives detecting and apprehending criminals, and they go through a court and try them, then the judges at one flash will undo everything that's being done. And I'm hoping, sooner or later, Dick, that the Congress will take steps to remedy this situation. The appellate power of the Supreme Court should be reduced, and Congress should pass laws that will enable the law enforcement officers to protect society to a better extent, and will not permit the Supreme Court to continue like they're doing in releasing guilty people even when they have confessed to their dastardly crimes.
You were speaking of the demoralizing effect that some of these decisions could have on law enforcement officers. I would expect this would be particularly true in view of the recent FBI crime statistics, which said that during 1963, 11% of the police officers in this country suffered personal injuries while going about their duties. The police chief in Los Angeles said that his own records show that 13% of their officers had medical treatment during 1963 because of physical injuries sustained in a brush with assailants. It's rather difficult for a policeman to be motivated to do a good job if 10-13% of the police force is going to be injured during a given year, and yet they can do very little to maintain law and order.
I think our law enforcement officers are to be commended. And I think they're willing to risk their life and their limbs to protect the public. But it must be very discouraging and disheartening to them after they catch a man who's guilty and confesses to his crime to then see the court turn him loose. The crime statistics, of course, show that serious crimes, were up 10% in 1963. And in the 5 years past, they have been up 40%. So crime is on the increase. It's been on the increase since Warren Court has had charge here in Washington. And it's going to continue to increase, in my judgment, until the Congress takes steps to curb the Supreme Court. This should have been done long ago. I have introduced measure after measure, but the majority of the Congress hadn't seen fit to pass these measures. Sooner or later, we've got to have a change, I think, in the membership of the Congress if we're going to save this country, not only from that standpoint, but from many others.
Senator Thurmond, do you believe that there are some healthy signals in the wind right now, though? In other words, have you spoken with some of your colleagues who now realize that these racial demonstrations in the northern cities must be resolved in a manner to uphold law and order, that we can't keep appeasing and capitulating to loud and vociferous elements in our society? When a major political party will include a large part of its platform to a plea to making the streets of our big cities safe for decent people day or night. Certainly, people are coming to realize they are becoming more aware of this problem. And do you think that this is an encouraging sign? Do you think that the so-called backlash is developing to a significant extent?
Well, I think that is an encouraging sign, and I think that it's going to help. I think, too, the people up north are beginning to realize the situation more. I think they are beginning to feel the situation there. They haven't seemed to have understood the problems of the South in dealing with the race question, but now I believe they are beginning to wake up to the situation. That's going to help, and possibly that will be reflected in a change in the opinions of some of the members of the Congress, or if necessary, in a change in the membership of some of the members of Congress. One or the other should take place, because the people all over the nation now, I believe, are becoming afraid of what's happening. I believe they're becoming frightened for their families to go out on the streets, even in daytime, in some of the cities of this nation, for fear they may be maimed or injured or killed, because crimes are taking place all over this nation. Washington, the capital of the nation, is one of the worst, and what's taking place here, it seems to me, would frighten any family almost. Steps must be taken to remedy this situation. This crime can't continue as it's been going on. The Supreme Court not only needs castigating, the Supreme Court needs to have its power taken away from it to a great extent in these matters. The Congress can do this. And again, I repeat, there is a responsibility on the Congress to take such action.
Senator Thurmond, thank you very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Dick, and good luck to you.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another.